And you'll see that's the tree. It's really not a tree, it's a post. But we celebrate it anyway, so come join us.
All right, thanks, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, happy November. And being November, it's officially okay to start playing Christmas music, right?
No?
Yes? Who says yes? November, open season for Christmas music. A couple of people. So when is it appropriate to play Christmas? After Thanksgiving. Raise your hand if you're after Thanksgiving. Okay. Raise your hand if you're December 1st. Okay. Wow, you guys are a lot of opinions about that out there. I fall in the after Thanksgiving category for Christmas music, Christmas movies. Christmas and Thanksgiving are what we would consider in our culture family holidays, in the sense that this season that kind of kicks off when November rolls around is a time to start thinking about family gatherings. And there's all kinds of different emotions that come up with that. For some people, it's really great memories of times past, connecting with family, and looking forward to what's coming for family get-togethers, maybe seeing extended family that you haven't seen since last Thanksgiving and Christmas. And for others, it's a difficult time with some hard memories and some wounds that you carry from those experiences, and maybe even some stress and nervousness as to what is it going to be like this year when we enter into family. And that's understandable, that we all share different experiences in that. But God's design for family, his intention, his heart and character for family is that it would be a place of safety, encouragement, training. Sorry, it sounded like it was dripping on the stage, but it's not. It's a place to actually have people who believe in you and that you can trust. It's a place of unconditional love. And these are aspects of family that God designed for us to experience. That's why, that's how we experience his character, right? So if you look at the stories about God and how he interacts with his people, wow, this is going to be hard to keep my focus. It's like really coming down out there. You will find that that's the character he wants to come through in family. Right now, we are in a series in Mark, which is telling the story of Jesus. It's telling the story. Mark, who was directly in contact with some of the disciples who actually walked with Jesus, got accounts of what did Jesus do, what did he say, how did he interact with people, what happened, and he wrote these down in a book that we get to read today and hear about those stories. And what we're finding is, all right, all distraction, go in Jesus' name. What we're finding is we're discovering more and more about Jesus' character and really how we can experience God through that. So what we learned last week was Jesus is willing to speak up to religious leaders and say, hey, all your rules and regulations that have taken us off the heart of God and his character, that's ridiculous. And so he heals somebody on the day of rest, the holy day, and they say, you can't work on the holy day. He's like, look, you got to get back to the heart of God here. You can't help your fellow man. You can't bless somebody else who needs help on the Sabbath day, on the day of rest. And then before that, we read a story about how Jesus went and hung out with the sinners, the people that the religious people were saying, you can't hang out with them because then you'll be like them. You'll become dirty and you'll start doing the things they're doing. And Jesus said, no, I'm bringing light to the darkness because they're the ones who need the light. And so I'm willing to go into those places and not do what they're doing, but to bring the light and the truth and the love of God. So we're learning that Jesus is willing to bring us back to the heart of God and disrupt some areas of our lives where we've kind of begun to get off track. Well, this morning, we're going to have a unique opportunity to experience the family of God, okay? Because as we come to our study of Mark in chapter 3, we're going to be kind of open to this idea that we are actually, as we come into faith in Jesus Christ, we become a part of the family of God. Okay, not just a member of an organization. It's much deeper than that. And Jesus will show us how that is. But what that means is, actually, this day has been designated by the church, by believers, to be a day of prayer for the persecuted around the world. Okay? So what that means is, on this specific day, we're designating churches throughout the world are joining together and praying for those who are being persecuted simply because they believe in and follow Jesus. And God has actually honored us in such a way that he set things up so that our prayers affect the story. Okay? So he didn't set things up, though he's sovereign, and he could just make everything happen the way it's going to happen, and we just go along for the ride. But he actually invites us into the story, and we can affect it through our prayers. Okay? Very risky move on God's part to do that for us, but also very honoring. And there's a weightiness then to our prayers that they actually mean something, and they actually press through, and they bring change. I think one of the reasons that he may have done that, one of the reasons, is because it gives us a connection with our church family, okay? Because if you want to grow your heart for somebody, if you have a strained relationship and you want to grow in that relationship, start praying for that person. Because when you start to pray for them, when you start to connect with God on behalf of that other person, your heart grows closer to them. And you actually pick up on God's heart for them as well. And it takes your focus off of whatever the strain is, whatever the conflict is, onto God's heart for that person. And so as we do that for the persecuted this morning, we get the opportunity to step into that as well. And I'll talk more about what that's going to look like. I will give you a heads up. It might strain your comfort level a little, because we're actually going to just group up in small groups and pray together for the persecuted. If you're new this morning, going, I don't know anybody, don't feel like you have to participate or you have to pray out loud. Maybe for you, if you're still kind of trying to figure out where you're at with God and where your faith is, maybe it's a time to observe the family of God and just observe, what does it look like for us to act like a family that's exampling God's character. So I'll give more instruction on that in a little bit. But in Mark, so kind of as the story goes along, Jesus is now being confronted by his family members, okay? So now his family members are actually thinking that he might be insane. He might be crazy, okay? So they're seeing this mobs of people following him around. He's healing people. He's making these claims. He's standing up to the religious leaders and saying, hey, all your religious rules are off balance to the heart of God, and I'm trying to bring things back. And they're like, Jesus, stop making so many waves here. Okay, so his brothers and his mom are starting to be like, I think he's gone a little cuckoo. Okay, anybody else here relate to that? Do you have family members, not that you think are cuckoo, but who think you are because you follow Jesus? Okay, Russ, don't raise your hand. Your wife's sitting right there. No, I get it. So you may have people who have written you off because of your faith. Jesus knows exactly how you feel. His own brothers and mom had done the same, okay? So that's where they're at. He's insane. And then the religious leaders have come to a different conclusion, and they believe that Jesus is basically using the devil, the enemy of God, using his power to do his works. So Jesus is going around freeing people from evil spirits, setting them free, healing them, and they're saying, you're doing that by the power of Satan. And so he reasons with them and shows them the error of that, that Satan's not divided against himself. Why would Satan be destroying Satan's kingdom and setting people free? And then he warned the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He said, don't commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, speaking against the Holy Spirit, because all sins will be forgiven men who put their faith in Jesus Christ, who take on that sacrifice that he's going to wind up paying on the cross, except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And so what he was saying to the religious leaders is not, you have committed it and therefore you won't be forgiven, but it was a warning. The way that he said that to them was, don't keep going in this path, because what they were doing is they were resisting the work of God that they were seeing, and they were accounting it to Satan. saying that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not the work of God that this man is doing. Okay? And so the message to us as Christians is, and some Christians have gotten trapped in that, and I even got trapped in this doubt about my salvation. Like, have I committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or not? And really what that is that that's an ongoing sin. Okay? That's a being in a place of saying, I will not recognize the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of God on the cross paying for my sins, the work of God in my life. I will renounce that and refuse that. And continuing to stay in that place will eventually find you so hardened in your heart that you won't turn to God and open to him and recognize his work in your life and receive him and follow him in faith. And that won't be forgiven. Okay? Generally speaking, then, you can know that if you're worried about committing that sin, you haven't committed it, because your heart's in a place where you want to be right with God and you want to recognize what he's accomplished for you on the cross. So Jesus' warning there was not in any way meant to spread doubt in those people who are seeking out God and wanting to find him and believing and following Jesus. Okay, so he deals with those religious leaders who are falsely accusing him of working by the power of Satan. And then Jesus' family comes to him. Okay, they come to him to kind of take him away and say, sorry for our crazy son, we'll take him away and leave you guys alone. And this is how Jesus responds to them in Mark chapter 3. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Okay, so he just opens up this profound, profound truth to the people who are following him and to us, that we become children of God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and when we walk out the will of God in our lives by following him. Now, that's a big deal, because that's a whole lot different than being just a servant. We definitely serve God. But we serve God as sons and daughters of a loving father in a family that reflects the character of God. And that's a big deal. We're not begging God to move when we pray. We're not coming to him as a slave looking for scraps. We're coming to a holy father as sons and daughters. And we're kind of joining with him in mission in what he's accomplishing. And he, out of respect and love for us, is allowing us the right to come in and intercede, to pray, and to change the story. And that's what he's inviting us to do this morning, to change the story for those being persecuted, to support them, and to allow them to feel that there is a church family around the world who knows and sees what's happening and is praying and supporting them and standing with them in faith. So I want to jump into that as soon as we can. John says it this way. John was another follower of Jesus, and in his account of Jesus' life, right at the beginning, he opens it up like this. The true light, speaking of Jesus, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Look at this last part. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born of God. Okay, so that's the posture in which we approach prayer this morning, is actually being part of a church family. One of the powerful things about the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted is it reawakens an awareness for some of us. It reawakens an awareness of what's happening right now, real time. These aren't stories that we're going to hear this morning from long, long ago in the Bible times when persecution was happening. These are happening right now today. And we get to join in prayer. What they're asking for most is not even to be released from the persecution. It's to stay strong in their faith in the face of persecution, which is amazing witness to me that that's what they're asking for. Pray that I would stay strong to the end, when they're going to take my life. and they're going to try to force me to recant my faith. We want our brothers and sisters around the world to pray that we will stay faithful. Isn't that amazing? So this morning, we're going to focus on a couple of different countries and two major organizations that help coordinate this for all of us are Open Doors Ministries and Voice of the Martyrs. And they've both kind of coordinated and targeted two countries that we can aim our prayers towards this morning. First one that we're going to look at is Pakistan.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Qudus, 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 Rabbul Fat. زمین اسمان کے خالق مالک تیرا شکر ادا کرتے اس پیارے موقع کے لیے جو تو نے ہماری زمین میں بخش دیا تیرا شکر ادا کرتے ہیں خداوند اس صبح کے لیے خداوند کہ تو نے ہماری زندگی میں بخشا کہ نئی صبح دیکھ سکے خداوند خداوند تیرا شکر ادا کرتے ہیں بچوں کے لیے خداوند
Today in Pakistan, we Christians are second-class citizens. Though we have committed no crime, we are ostracized and banished to the lowest place in society. Often we are forced to leave our villages and our own homes. We cannot get good jobs. And we have no voice in government. What is left for us is servitude. Sewage work. And we know we will never advance. But we have a church, a place where Christians come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing His praise, to study His word. For while our country has turned its back on us, God has not. Sometimes it is not easy. The loss, the injustice. So please remember to pray for us. That we will continue to live together in fellowship. That we will continue to see the joy of the Lord in our lives. And that we will persevere in our faith, no matter the cost. And please remember, we are praying for you.
We don't have a time to pray for Pakistan. There's a what's called a World Watch list, and it rates the 50 most persecuted countries right now. And Pakistan's number 5 on that list. Currently in Pakistan, there's a lot of instability because there is a woman, Asia Bibi, who has been held for years now under blasphemy charges against the Prophet Muhammad. This came out, I'm going to read this briefly here. This came out on Wednesday, okay? So this is all very recent. The Pakistan Supreme Court has just ordered the immediate release of Asia Bibi, the Christian woman who has spent over 8 years on death row in Pakistan. Asia was arrested and imprisoned in June 2009 and convicted of blasphemy charges and sentenced to death in November 2010. After 9 years of ongoing prayer, the 58-year-old mother of 5 has been freed. In the weeks leading up to the decision, Pakistan has been on fire with Islamic extremists calling for Asia's death, as well as the deaths of presiding Supreme Court justices. With this decision also comes fear of persecution of all Pakistani Christians, including attacks on churches and homes. More than ever before, the church in Pakistan needs our prayers. Okay, and then I just got this morning a report that her husband came into the country to take her out, and they wouldn't release her. Because of all the uprising, there's been now a reconsideration. There's fear. Everyone's operating out of fear right now in that country. So she's still in prison and has not been released, even though this was just Wednesday that she was reportedly released. So that's a current prayer. In fact, my prayer point up here isn't even up to date. It says, thank God for Asia Bibi's release. And I just heard during first service, somebody had heard, and I looked it up, and it's true. She is still being detained. So these are some prayer points to help guide you, but let God guide your prayers. And what I would suggest is just gather with a few people sitting around you and just let God lead you. How would you pray for Pakistan? How would you pray for your brother, sisters there in Pakistan? We'll take a few minutes to do that, and then we'll take a look at one other country that's calling for our prayers. So if you want to go ahead and gather up, feel free to do that. we'll finish up here in just a minute. So go ahead and finish your prayers. All right. Amen. Sorry to break that up. So now we want to take some time to turn our attention to North Korea.
그것은 북한에서는 세상에서 가장 나쁜 사람들은 예수 믿는 사람들이라고 했고 또 선교사나 목사들은 양의 가죽을 쓴 승냥이들이라. 신앙을 가지게 된 것은 저희 남편 때문이었습니다. 이렇게 해서 아이들이 와서 기도, 아버지가 기도하라고 했고 예수님을 믿으라고 했다고, 우리 아버지가 믿는 예수님도 좋은 분일 거라고 해서 그때부터 우리는 기도하기 시작을 했습니다. 이렇게 아들이 손을 잡아당기고 거기다가 예수님을 믿어라, 예수님은 눈으로는 볼 수 없지만 예수님은 확실히 계시고 일을 하신다. 북성대에서 감옥에서 안기부 간첩으로 몰려가지고 정말 그 복음을 전하고, 밤에는 몰래 복음을 전하고 아픈 사람 기도해주고 그러면서 이제 거기서 그렇게 그런 사역을 할 때 하나님께서 그 사람을 통해서 그 감옥에다가 지하교회를 세워주셨어요. 저희 남편은 정말 나는 이제 죽어도 천국이 있다, 천국 소망이 있기 때문에 이제 죽어도 나는 이 세상에 아쉬울 것이 없다고 그냥 그런 이야기를 했다고 그래요. 감옥에 있을 때 특히 감옥에서 정말 많은 사람들이 옆에서 죽어가고 항상 주님께서 내 마음에 기둥이 되고 내 마음에 등대가 되어주시고 하얀게 눈물 나의 목자신이 내가 부족함이 없으리로다. 주가 나를 푸른 초장에 누이시며 실망한 눈가로 인도하시리로다. 나의 영을 소생시키시며 자기 이름을 위하여 의 길로 인도하시리로다. 내가 사망의 음침한 골짜기로 다닐지라도 해를 두려워하지 아니할 것은 주께서 나와 함께 하심이라. 이것을 묵상하면 조금만 이렇게 하나님께 이 말씀으로 나를 위로해 주시고 힘을 주고 내가 거기서 정말 무사히 나올 수가 있었고 하나님 은혜로 사랑할 때 정말 모든 기도가 응답되고 그 나라에도 신앙의 자유가 올 날이 있을 줄로 믿으면서 항상 정말 그 날을 기다리는 인내하면서 우리가 주셔서 감사하고 그래서 항상 이 노래를 부를 때마다 자꾸 이렇게 눈물을 흘리게 되죠. 주님 은혜가 너무 감사해가지고 나 같은 죄인 살리신 주 은혜 고마워 생명 찾았고 광명을 얻었네
All right, so North Korea is number one on the World Watch List. Just wanted to read a description of a home gathering experience, what you would experience to be a part of the underground church in Korea. This is coming from people who are there witnessing and experiencing this. Home gatherings. Typically, this kind of church is hosted by a family who have one or more children. The family's house is rarely, if ever, ideal for public gatherings. It usually has just one bedroom and a small living room. And even if a group of people can cram into the small space, they must be vigilant about keeping the noise down. Neighbors easily pick up when something is going on, as houses in North Korea are built close together, and the walls of the structures are often thin. It's best when these families live near the woods so they can hide their copy of the Bible, if they have one. Our field rep describes what worship is like for a local believer. It's after midnight. The two youngest children are sleeping. You sneak out, dig up your Bible, and bring it back inside. The curtains are pulled, and very, very softly do you read to your wife and 16-year-old son. You've only recently shared the gospel with him. Now he's old enough and wise enough not to accidentally betray you. Of course, he didn't understand the gospel at first, but you're teaching him. You've been praying for years that he'd be ready. You read the Bible in the dark. You pray. The words are hardly audible. Do you sing in whispers when you're in a bold mood? To be caught in the faith, to be caught saying the name of Jesus or sharing your faith would mean your whole family would be sent to a labor camp. There's an estimated 50 to 70,000 Christians in these labor camps. So it's a serious, serious decision to follow Jesus in North Korea. And what they're asking for is, again, faith to withstand the persecution, to stay strong, to spread the gospel in the prison camps where they are, to continue these underground churches and be able to have wisdom and how to bring that to their neighbors without being caught, so they can continue to spread the light. So let's do the same, break into groups. Here's some ideas of prayer points. Let the Holy Spirit lead you as you pray, and we'll take some time to pray for North Korea. All right, we'll wrap up here in just a minute. All right, well, thank you for joining with the family, God's family around the world. And I know that the people are feeling those prayers in those countries. And a challenge I'd want to put out to all of you, and I'm putting out to myself as well, is to having my awareness reawakened this morning, to continue to walk in that this week. There's multiple resources that we have in your bulletin or on the back table. There's 10 ways to pray for the persecuted, which helps walk you into practically how do I keep them on my heart and encourage them through prayer. And so you can just take one of those a day, and there's verses that go with those. There are apps that you can download from those organizations, Open Doors and Voice of the Martyrs, that actually remind you of, keep you updated on what's going on around the world and help you know how to pray and continue to pray. I encourage you in that, or just check out the websites for them in the bulletin. And there's literature back there of more stories of just how it's not something that they even ask that we would be sad for them. They actually say, pray for us to stay strong. The gospel is spreading. 300,000 Christians in North Korea, the most closed nation in the world. So joy, celebrate. And I think what I'd love to do is just have us sing this song over ourselves, the truth of this song, and then also sing it over those we just prayed for, over those nations, over those believers, those brothers and sisters in Christ. From my mother's womb, you have chosen.